When is the right time to buy Australian real estate? These are the three questions that you must learn to analyze and the three questions you must learn to answer. Everyone always wants to know, is this a good time to buy real estate? And of course, everyone is trying to sell you a property or sell you a course or, you know, sell you a service related to real estate. They're like, guys, this is the best time to buy, right? And there's like obviously a conflict of interest. And then everyone who's missed out on the last property boom, the last two property booms, the last three property booms, or subscribe to the theory of the job seeker, job keeper cliff, the mortgage cliff, the interest-only rate cliff that was, you know, I can't remember, 8 years ago, all these cliffs, and they missed out. They're like, it's not a good time to buy a property because their confirmation bias tells them that property prices will crash because they want them to because they missed out and now they're priced out of the market. So, you know, how do we take away these, you know, emotional, subjective biases and actually figure out, you know, is this a good time to buy or not? Here are the three questions that you have to answer.
Welcome to the Oz Property Investment Mastery Podcast. My name's PK and I help busy people build passive income by buying top 5% growth and cash flow property and build a portfolio using data without wasting months doing research, spending weekends at inspection or catching flights, or dropping $10,000 to $20,000 on buyer's agents every single time. So if you're confused, lack confidence, and just overwhelmed with all the information and marketing misinformation available online and don't know where to start, then this show is for you.
This is me teaching as opposed to telling, because if I teach you how to fish, then you're not reliant on me, you're not reliant on anyone else, you're self-sufficient, you can feed yourself for a lifetime. The first question you must learn to answer, or you must answer for yourself to decide whether this is the right time to buy or not, and I'm going to talk at a city level to start with, okay? So is this the right time to buy in Sydney? Is this the right time to buy in Perth, Brisbane, Adelaide, even regional areas, Bendigo, Toowoomba, Townsville, etc., etc.? And this completely flies in the face of what most people, newbie or professional, believe, okay? One metric that you must learn to answer is what has been the price growth rate over the last 10 years. And if the growth rate has been with a standard deviation significantly above the long-term Australian real estate average of 7.25%, then that's a reason to be skeptical that you should be buying there right now in the cycle. Let me explain that. So over the long term, last 30, 35 years, Australian real estate, according to RBA and ABS, grows at about 7.25% per annum. That's at a national level. 1920s, it's actually grown at an average of 11.2%. But let's put aside all the stuff that happened before fiat currency and everything else, 7.25%. So if your city has grown more than that, then that means that there is downwards price pressure, or at least headwinds, because a particular city can't keep growing above the average forever. And that's how averages work. So if you look at Sydney, you know, everyone thinks Sydney's amazing and a great city, right? Nothing against it. But between sort of 2003 to about 2013, it was pretty flat. Now between 2013 and 2023, it kind of almost quadrupled or tripled, right? And then before that, so 1993 to about 2003, it did tremendously well. So, I mean, this is a generalization, and it holds for every capital city or regional center. But there's normally blocks of 10 years where a city or town outperforms and underperforms, outperforms, underperforms. And over the long term, it sort of correlates or averages out to about that 7.25 national average. Hence, it's a national average. There's not really a city that has outperformed the national average or underperformed the national average over the last 30, 40 years. That's a statistical fact. It's like Launceston, small little place in Tasmania, has performed just as well as Sydney over the long term. So long-term regression to the mean, okay, regression or kind of pressure to conform to the mean or the average is actually a statistical reality. So if you're looking at a city and you're like, oh gosh, you know, Melbourne, I think there's value in Melbourne, by the way, right now, but over the last 10 years, it has outperformed that 7.25% average. It has outperformed its peers. You know, you have to think about it. And the same with Sydney. And then on the flip side, Perth, Brisbane to some extent now, definitely Adelaide, it's like, well, those have not performed at the 7.25%, or they've not performed as well as the other centres or regional centres or capital cities, so hence there might be some value. And these are all not my opinions, like this is statistical reality. I've done other videos where I shared my screen. Okay, let's bring it down from the city level to the town level. Okay, so of course you would be like, PK, well, you don't know what you're talking about, there's areas in Sydney that are growing right now, and that's a fact. And so you have to bring it down to a suburb level, LGA or local government level, but down to then the suburb level. And then you have to say, okay, in the last 3 years, has the suburb, you know, outperformed or underperformed the city? Okay, so relativity between the suburb and the city, and has it outperformed, you know, this sort of, you know, an understanding of, has it grown more than 50%, over the 60%, over 70%. I see so many newbie investors, even right now, they're like jumping into suburbs like Morphett Vale in the southern part of Adelaide. And it's like, okay, I get it that you recently heard about it. Like, I get it that, like, your friend told you about it and their property doubled. But guys, like, you're far too late. That place has gone up like 70, 80% in the last 3 years. So you really need to understand that, yes, there are markets within markets, even what I said about cities. Okay, you can still outperform a city, but then at the suburb level, don't be so late in its short-term or medium-term growth cycle. Wait, for example, with Morphett Vale, all right, Adelaide's still got value, but with Morphett Vale, it's like, all right, let's just wait maybe a year, 2 years, and then that way, you know, the three-year growth rate will be then again under 60%, under 40%, under 50%. Then that's like an optimal buying window. Of course, there's other metrics, you know, there's 30 to 35 other data factors that you have to, if you want to be clinical, or if you care about your money, you need to time and you need to analyze. But at a very high level, hopefully this is making sense. So that's the first sort of question, A and B, one question that you must answer when figuring out, is this the right time to buy or not? The second, and like, guys, people charge a lot of money for this. I'm just giving it to you for free. The second answer you have to, question you have to answer for yourself to learn how to fish, to figure out the market timing, the market cycle, is this the best time to buy or not? In a particular SA3 or SA4, you know, city or LGA, or then down to SA2 suburb level, is, Are listings greater than sales, or are sales greater than listings? Sales is, you know, obviously listings that have sold. And if we're starting to find that there are 10, like, I'm just using a random number, 10 sales a month, and there's only 3 listings a month, these are just random numbers, right? Then it's like, hang on a second, if there's far more sales than listings, then the amount of stock on the market, or the amount of listings on the market, is going to dry up. If that continues, maybe in 4 months' time, there's going to be no listings at all, because there's far more sales than there are listings. And that is a sign that the market is either about to grow in value in terms of price, or it's already growing. Okay. On the flip side, you might follow the market and you might find that, and you don't have to be an expert to do these things, they're just statistical techniques, you might find that actually, listings are so much higher than sales. Every month, another 10 listings come on the suburb, and there's only 7 that get sold. So if that happens every month, another 10 listings, 7 sold, another 10 listings, 7 sold, then every month the stock on market just gets bigger and bigger, this kind of glut of supply, and they become stale, the properties become stale. And so, like that, even if you do nothing else, like, I feel that that's an incredibly powerful way to quickly assess how strong demand is versus supply in the market. Okay, sales is obviously demand side metric, listings is obviously a supply side metric, so you're getting both things, okay, and you're really understanding the dynamics. And if you just do that for like 1 or 2 months, or forget even doing it for 1 or 2 months, just do it in a point in time and take historical data, you know, run that analysis for the last 24 months, you'll be like, hang on a second, yeah, damn it, like every month inventory is going down because there's far more sales and listings, like this place is about to pop, all right? And of course, what I'm talking about in this second question and how to answer, these are short-term cycles, like 1, 2, 3 year cycles. This isn't just because over the last 6 months there's been more sales and listings, doesn't mean for the next 10 years that suburb's going to outperform. Once again, there's other data factors to look at that. But that's the second question you must answer. And the third question, I think this is really simple. Okay, so the first ones were a little bit, perhaps a little bit more intricate. You need to actually, you don't have to be an expert, right? Even a bricklayer can do it. No offense to any of my bricklayer friends out there. But this is just addition, subtraction, and multiplication and division. Like, this is simple elementary mathematics you can do in Excel or in a calculator. The third question that you must answer in order to figure out whether you should buy or not is, what's the yield in that property, in that suburb, okay? If the yield is strong enough for you to be able to pay for the property, for you to be able to hold the property through, you know, thick and thin, if the yield is that, like normally my clients go for a yield of above 5%, 5.5%, 6%, 7%, some even 8%. There was one, Richard, he's amazing. He's on his 10th property. He bought one with 11.2% yield. Everyone disbelieved it on the Facebook group, and then he kind of proved it by showing the lease and everything. But yeah, if you have a yield that your household budget allows for you to hold the property for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, then that's another sign that you should just go ahead and buy it. Because obviously over the long term, the property's going to go up. But I think more sophisticated answer is, we should never have to sell our property. Okay, property investing, it should be a low risk game. And if we ever have to sell our property, then like that's not the way to accrue and acquire properties for your retirement in a stress-free, headache-free, hassle-free manner. You should use metrics to time the market for short and long-term growth, but you should also use yield metrics. And yield is obviously just annual rent divided by the purchase price of the property. And it tells you, this is going to cost me $2,000 to hold. Is it going to give me $2,000 a year to hold? Okay. Triangulate that, collaborate that with your household budget. And if you can hold that property, even if you lose your job for 6 months, even if some emergency help happens, health issue, etc., if you can continue holding that property, then that's a good sign that you should just enter the market, okay? So those are the three questions that you must ask yourself and the three answers that you have to learn to do yourself, guys. Don't outsource this stuff, okay? No one cares about your money as much as you do. You must learn to answer these questions. And so then every barbecue, every gathering, every night, every week, every time you're thinking about the property market, you'll know that actually, for a whole bunch of people, it's not a good time to buy a property right now because of yield reasons. For a whole bunch of people, this whole city doesn't make sense. For a whole bunch of people, that other city makes sense. Actually, even at the city level, it may not make sense. At the suburb level, it makes sense. So, you know, when people are like, is it a good time to buy property? It's like, well, I mean, this is a grid. There's like a 3x3 or whatever. It's like, for some people, yes. For some people, no. In some cities, yes. In some cities, no. In some suburbs, yes. Some suburbs, no. So what's the conclusion? It's always a bad time to buy property, and it's always a good time to buy property. But if you want to be a clinical property investor and retire early, you must learn to do these analyses yourself. Hopefully that was helpful, guys. Hopefully I didn't waffle on too much. Thank you, guys, for being part of my community. I'll see you next time. See ya.